Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 18th of Tammuz. Today we're going to discuss, briefly actually, Rav Uziel on using an electric razor. Rav Uziel, let's remember, was the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel, both before and early state of Israel, and tremendous Talmud Chacham, and all that good stuff. And the reason I say briefly is because most of this tshuva won't be about the actual merits of the issue. It's going to be about the attitude that we bring to the issue. Because he's writing, this is in Shu"t, Mishpatei Uziel, Volume 2, the Yoredeya section, response in Kaf Gimel 23, and he's talking about using an electric razor. It's from the 18th of Tammuz in Tuf Shin Vav, 1946. But he starts off with a long... He's reproving. He's upset with the person he's writing back to for the attitude he had brought to the discussion. So he says, I want to start off by pointing out that the way you wrote about this topic is not the way of Torah. Lo zohi darka shel Torah. It is not the way of Torah to disagree with our previous rabbis, with the greats of our past. In this case, it'll be Rashi. We're going to see later in the tshuva, the man he's writing to had said that Rashi suggested a reason for not using a razor, and I think Rashi got the wrong reason. So he just flat out, in the 20th century, disagreed with Rashi. So Rav Uziel is saying, we don't argue with Rishonim like that. We don't argue with people who came before us like that, with just new ideas that we came up with on our own. Our obligation, and I found this tshuva interesting, both because electric razors, electric shavers is an important is a question that comes up often for people who, many people today, use them. Rav Uziel might not get into all the reasons that we today would say we could use them, but so aside from the merits of the issue itself, it was interesting to me because he's going to reflect on the way that halachic reasoning goes. So our job, he says, is to, with all the honor we have to you, and it's, I'm sorry, our job is, it's our obligation and our honor to accept their ideas, biyira uve'ema, to approach the thoughts of came before us with a certain amount of fear and awe, that we shouldn't think that we are greater than them, we shouldn't think that we can see further than them, other than in that famous image of dwarves standing, midges standing on the shoulders of giants, right? We don't think of that, especially Rashi, who taught all the Jewish people for all generations with his commentary on Chumash, his commentary on Gemara. He's like our teacher. So to simply and casually go against our teachers, he said that's a problem. The only opening there is for us to come up with new ideas is if there is an explicit contradiction in what they say to a Gemara. So if that happens, we then would have to find a way maybe to explain how they came to that, and then we can ask a question of them. We can be Maksha, and Uziel says this whole process to be Be'anava, with humility, with modesty, V'yira, and fear, and we should always be remembering the words of Rabbi Menah from Yerushalmi, where Rabbi Menah read the verse of Kilo Davareku Mikam, when the Torah says, it is not a matter that is empty from you. He says, Imreku Mikam, if it seems empty, then it's our fault. The Rav Uziel is saying, what the Gemara, what the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Menah and Yerushalmi says about the Torah in general, is, should be, we should realize that it's true of the Rishonim as well, of these greats of our past as well. We have to realize that we should approach it in that way. When we bring that attitude to the words of the Rishonim, then if we see a contradiction in their words, we have to recognize that that comes from something that we're missing, that they don't make simple and obvious mistakes. So if it seems like there's a simple and obvious mistake or a simple and obvious better answer, it's up to us to see what they did, how they thought about it, and how to understand it, and then to accept what they say, and to even say that we know that they are more authoritative than we are. There's a Gemara in Erevin which says something like that. The phrase that the Rav Uziel quotes is Va'anan ki etzba'ata bekira lisvara, that we compared to them are like a finger. When you try to put a finger into a hole that's filled with wax, you can't put it all the way in because the wax is hard, although you can push in a little bit. That's all we can do. I mean, the Gemara is saying that compared to we shouldn't think that we think better than them or more clearly than them. We think that we have to think and realize that we struggle to reach their levels, and that's the approach that we should take. So that means that any idea that we have that isn't well-based in words of Torah or the words of our sages that came before us, and especially if it's contradicted by that which came before us, we are supposed to realize and know that our ideas cannot be as authoritative as theirs, and therefore must not be the way the Torah sees it. Those are important words, it seems to me, that are relevant to every endeavor of modern people approaching ideas from the past that they are uncomfortable, they find problematic. That fundamental understanding, the way the Torah is built, even though there are many new ideas, there are many chidushim in Torah, the idea, the striving for chidush, striving for new ideas, is in all areas of Torah, and all practitioners of Torah study are seeking chidush. Many of them. Anyway, I don't know about all. But when you seek a novel idea, the point isn't to have a novel idea for its own sake. The point is to have a novel idea that reveals some new insight into the pre-existing Torah. It's that we have uncovered a facet of Torah, not that we're making up a new facet of Torah. That means that when we have Rishonim who say things, we can't simply disregard them. I think these are very, very important ideas that are broadly applicable, and that's part of what attracted me to this tshuva. Then he goes on to the question of Dershinin Tama Dekra, because it will be relevant to the electric shaver question. This question is relevant here too. To what extent can we and do we assume that we know, or allow ourselves to assume that we know, the reason that the Torah made a certain rule? So the question in the Gemara is the question of Darshinan Tama Dekra, whether or not we are allowed to base ourselves upon the reasons behind a mitzvah. He says, it's a machloket tanaim in the Gemara. The Gemara reflects Tanaim who have hold both ways, and whether or not we can establish halacha based on that. And most of the poskim assume that we follow Rabbi Yehuda, who says delo darshinan tama dekra, that we don't allow ourselves to do that. Meaning, we don't allow ourselves to say, "Well, this halacha that was for this reason, and therefore that leads us to these conclusions." The exception being if the Torah itself gives us a reason. So an example of that would be when the Torah says that the king can't have many wives. The pasuk says, the verse says, lo yaber lo nashim, he can't take many wives, he can't have too many wives, velo yasur levavo, and his heart shall not be led astray. So he says it's clear from the verse itself that it doesn't mean that the king has a special rule not to have his heart be led astray, because no Jew is allowed to have his or her heart be led astray. So when the Torah adds velo yasur levavo, it's clearly saying that that's a reason for the lo yarber lo nashim, so that his heart not be led astray, and that has impact on that halakhic discussion about wives that he can or can't take, or whether he can take any wives that are. So, for example, there's an opinion in the Gemara that he can't take any wives who will lead his heart astray. It's not a question of numbers, it's a question of that they will lead his heart astray. In any case, all of that, he says, that idea of Darshin Tam and Dekra is only when the verse is explicit, and that would be because the Torah itself is telling it thus. But areas elsewhere in Torah, where the Torah doesn't say that, then we don't have the right to simply assume that we know what the meaning of the Torah is, because we have to remember that the Torah is written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's written by Hashem, and therefore it is, in many ways, too deep for us to understand, and therefore, other than things that we do understand, maybe there are reasons that are correct. He's not saying there is no such idea of Tamei Mitzvah, that we can't learn anything about the Torah, but he's saying that other than that which we can, that we do learn, there might be more reasons that we don't know, and that we don't grasp with our intellects, and that are part of the reasons that would affect our halachic perspective. And therefore, he says, we cannot use Tama Dekra, we can't use the reasons for the mitzvot to shape our halachic practice, unless there is an oral tradition about all this, unless there's Gemara is this, that's a whole different way of looking at it. But just that we would say to ourselves, well, the reason is obviously this, and that would mean this. So he says that we can't generally do. He points out the Chasam Sofer held that you can do that to be machmir, meaning if somebody said, I think I'm not allowed to do this because the Torah's mitzvah means that I should do X and Y and Z, that the Chasam Sofer seems to allow, but not lakel, but not to allow a leniency. And in this case, obviously, talk about electric razors, but allowing ourselves to use them, that would be a leniency. Omnam, however, the Rambam, he says also, you should know that it's not that we shouldn't think about Tamei HaMitzvot, the reasons for the mitzvot. In fact, the Rambam held that we have to, because without understanding them, the Rambam held, our observance won't be as filled with meaning. And the Sefer HaChinuch followed that opinion. In the Sefer HaChinuch, which is a book written on all 613 mitzvot, in every mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch offers a suggestion for a reason for that mitzvah. Right? So, but all of that, Rav Uziel says, is to make the mitzvot more palatable to us, more understandable to us. We strive for the true reasons of them, but even when we strive for the true reasons, it doesn't mean that we think we've reached the whole reason. We're trying to avoid, the phrase in Yeshayahu is mitzvat anashim melumada. We're trying to avoid rote performance that we're just doing because people told us to do it, but we want the, but the more we can fill our full our observance with meaning, the better it would be. Then the Ruziel writes, interestingly, v'rabim chalku alav bi'ikar zeh. Many people disagreed with this, especially about the kinds of mitzvot that the Rambam offered. Right? So it's interesting because he mentions the Ramban al Torah. It's particularly interesting to me because Ramban al Torah does not disagree with the idea that there are mitzvot. There are reasons for mitzvot, and that we should look for reasons for mitzvot. It's the particular brand of mitzvot that the Ramban, the brand of reasons for mitzvot the Ramban disagreed with. So the overall point is that there is idea of tamei mitzvot, but we can't use those tamei mitzvot to set the halacha for us. We have to follow the halachic discussion as if a tamei mitzvot didn't exist. And then after the fact, we can look at it. This is a broad topic with Soloveitchik. I was just reading, somebody gave me an article to read before publication, so this whole idea of tamei mitzvot, where it comes in, is much on my mind, because the Rav did a lot about this as well. The Rav held that we have to build our hashkafa, our view of Judaism, we have to build our view of Judaism based on halacha, not based on our own ideas, and that fits in very well with what Ruziel is trying to say here. In sum, then, Ruziel says that we can use reasons of the mitzvot to enlighten us and to give us a stronger faith in Hashem and in the unity in all the meanings of that word of Hashem and Hashem's providence and supervision of the world in general and personal, and to tell us that we have to follow the highest forms of character in everything that we do, but we can't use reasons that we come with on our own to affect our halachic practice and let us say that we practice that has been accepted for a long time we can just dispense with because we have this idea and we understand it. So that's that leads to all sorts of problems that he says. People think that you have advances in science or in medicine or in jurisprudence, and that leads them to say that you don't have to keep Shabbos the way Jews have always kept Shabbos. You don't have to worry about kosher. Right? There are people who would say that the whole idea of eating pig was only because pigs were dirty and unhealthy, and therefore if we can find a way to do it, then if we don't follow the Torah, that's what Ruziel is reacting to. There are all sorts of ideas that people can come up with to say, well, the Torah did it for this reason, and that's no longer applicable. And that's what he's objecting to. It works for nida issues as well, for marital relations issues. That's also a place where it comes up. It comes up in Arayos, in some kinds of sexual immorality. So in all of these things, Ruziel says that the people turn these mitzvot into something much less than they are. They turn them into something non-divine, something that Hashem didn't give, as if they know the reason for it. And that's a problem because in the case of all of the mitzvot, the issue is kedoshim tiyu, right? The mitzvot are part of our kedusha. And Ruziel says it's a thread that runs through the entire Torah, through all tayag mitzvot, that our observance of them fosters greater kedusha, fosters greater sanctity, whatever that word means in English and what it means in Hebrew. But all of the mitzvot of the Torah, notice that Rashi on the Chumash says that kedusha is about the arayot, about the sexual prohibitions. Others read kedusha much more broadly, like the Ramban. So the Ruziel is saying that kedusha stems from each of the mitzvot, and that's why Chazal say, for every mitzvah that we say, before you do a mitzvah, we say, asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, who sanctified us with mitzvot and commanded us. So that kedishanu b'mitzvotav, he's saying, is part of that. Kiddusha is part of each and every mitzvah, Chazal are telling us. And that's true in Birchat Kiddushin, in marriage, where it says, Mekadesh Emo Yisrael, Hashem sanctifies the Jewish people. V'chein b'moadim, on the holidays, the bracha that we say in the middle of the bracha, in the middle of Musaf, is Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, who sanctifies the Jewish people and the holidays. Sorry, not just the Musaf, and all of the in all of the Amidah prayers that we say on a holiday, we say Mekadesh Shabbos. It's that idea of Kiddusha. So that Kiddusha comes from staying away from Tumah, staying away from wrongful things and things that sully us. As Chazal say, the meaning of Kiddusha is Prushim to you, that we should separate ourselves from things, and we should attach ourselves to those things that are sanctified, like La'avad Hashem L'kechem L'dov Kabo, to love Hashem and to attach ourselves to Him. V'chol ha-mitzvot kam eile shehin mishpatiyot v'sichliot, another vital point that people sometimes forget, all of the mitzvot, including those that seem rational, that seem to follow human logic, they are nonetheless steps on the ladder, rungs on the ladder to Kedusha, to the higher levels of Kedusha, and that means that they're not just rational, and we make a mistake if we think they are, because they are, in fact, more than just rational. All of that is lead up, is build up to his discussion on the man's claim that we can use, that he could use electric razors in his time. Moving to the topic itself, the man's basic claim was that the razors that they had, I think it's called the Gillette, I think that's the word they're using. So the reason why he thought that it was okay to use this machine, this electric, this maybe it's not electric, maybe it's just a razor that is covered on both sides. Since it's covered on both sides, he said, then it's like a rahitni. Now, a rahitni was a plane, like when you wanted to plane, when you want to smooth things out. But the blade of a rahitni was covered on both sides by a piece of wood. So the man claimed that a rahitni, the Gemara says, is okay because it's not mashchit, because it doesn't destroy, it sounds like it means it doesn't destroy the skin. We're going to get there in a second. But he held that the Gemara says a rahitni is okay to use, and therefore this should be like a rahitni because it's also covered on both sides, and that's why it should be okay. He says, Rav Uziel says, that the man's father had answered him, who was apparently also a rabbi, had answered him appropriately and properly that the reason why a rahitni is allowed is not that it's covered on both sides, because there's a Rashi on that Gemara, and the Rashi says a rahitni is that it's mashchit ve'ein derech legaleach. It's not the usual way to be megaleach. People didn't shave with a rahitni, and that's the reason why the Gemara thought it was allowed, as opposed to scissors, for example, which the Gemara says are megalchim ve'einam mashchitim, that they don't do hashkata. They don't completely, we'll see in a second, they don't completely remove the hair, but they do some kind of a giluach. And what you need for the halacha of the prohibition of giluach is something that is both mashchit and megaleach. You need something that does both. It will be a problem, will be a violation of lo tashchit pe'ad zekanech. There won't be a hashkata. So what that is, we'll see in a second. So Rashi, though, seems to say that the reason why a rahitni is allowed is that it's not derech legaleach, and this man said, no, that's not the reason. The reason is that it's covered on both sides. So you can't go up against Rashi. It's one thing that will bother Rav Uziel. But then he says, in fact, the reason for rahitni is that the shaver, the razor itself, is not mugan, it's not covered, and therefore, in fact, he thinks it's very easy, it's much easier to cut up the skin. Oh, sorry. The guy claimed, the man claimed, that a regular, an ordinary razor is not covered and therefore very easy to cut up the skin. And therefore the Torah said it was usher, mash ein kein rahitni. Since it's covered on both sides, it's not chashkata, it's giluach. And therefore it should be okay. That's the way he understood the Gemara. The problem was whether or not you're going to slice up the skin, since he thought a regular razor sliced up the skin. That's what the Torah had a problem with. A rahitni, a plane, was covered on both sides. Therefore, it should be okay. Here, too, this Gillette is going to be okay as well for that same reason. Rav Uziel answers that it's very daring of him, and not in a good way, to debate Rashi, dispute with Rashi from just an idea that came to his head that has no evidence for it in the Gemara or in other commentators or other poskim, and that's not the way of Torah. A reminder that we have to build on what's out there, not just come up with something completely new and say that's what we've come up with. And so part of the reason for his mistake, Rav Uziel's, is that he thinks he can find the reasons for the pasuk, that he thinks it's so simple to say that lo tashchit pe'ad zekanecha, not to destroy our beards, which is what the verse is at the source for the prohibition against shaving, is because the Torah was worried that we would scratch up our skin and that would be the problem, right? We would cut ourselves. And the Torah didn't want ourselves to cut ourselves. So Raziel says, you have no reason to believe that. There's no source for that. And therefore, davar ze yishtakeya v'lo yamir. This is something that should really not be said at all. It turns the Torah as if all it is to help us keep the beauty of our face or the health of our face, not to be scratched up, that as it would be by a shaver. But that he says, is turning the Torah, which is a vehicle of Kedusha, into Divrei Chulin, into the ordinary things like good advice that you'd get from your doctor or from your friend. Oh, don't use a razor. That's going to cut up your skin. You're going to be walking around with pieces of toilet paper and all of the cuts that you make. That's not what Torah is all about. As if it's only for those people, Rav Uziel says, who don't know how to be careful enough not to cut themselves when they're shaving. That can't be. That can't be. So that at first, it's not just that it's not that it can't be. It's that it clearly is not by virtue of the fact that no other observer said it before. So therefore, he says, in fact, it's the opposite as far as he knows. As far as he understands, the giluach betar, that using an actual tar, an actual shaver, that's the razor people ordinarily use, doesn't cause hashkatat panim. It doesn't cause people to slice up their face, because since he's holding the razor, the blade, directly in his hands, and he can see exactly how it's going, he can be very careful. Not that I've ever shaved with a razor. I will just point out that it seems like, from advertisements that I've seen over the years for different versions of Gillette's and things like that, that that's not quite as easy as Rav Uziel claims that it is. And he wouldn't have known either, because he also didn't use a razor. But in any case, he's saying that's not an issue. He thinks that when people shave with a razor, they generally know how to do it in a way that'll be clear and clean. And the hashkata, when the Torah says lo tashchid, it doesn't mean by scratching yourself or... right, or slicing up your skin. It means that the essential act of shaving, of giluach, is a hashkata. And the hashkata, the destruction there isn't of bleeding, the destruction is of the complete removal of hair from its roots. So therefore, when the Gemara says that we can use scissors, because they don't cut, the point is they don't cut all the way down to the root. Now, Rav Uziel doesn't mention this, because I think, and I might have misspoken when I started off by saying this about electric shavers. It might have just been about mechanical shavers that have coverings on them. But I think that today, when people use electric shavers, the claim is that they act more like misparayim, more like scissors, than they act like actual razors, because the covering on at least some of the models, and that's why people talk about some models of electric shaver being allowed and some models not being allowed, I think the covers on the shaver means that the hair is pulled up, and then the razor goes underneath the pull-up and to cut it, but doesn't get quite close enough to the skin to qualify as hashkata. That's what I think. But Rav Uziel doesn't get into that issue, so neither will we. But he says that the point is of the halacha, it's not the point as in the reason of the halacha, but the focus of the halacha is hashkata, and the definition of the hashkata is that which completely removes the hair from the skin. Now, so a rahini, when Chazal say that it's okay, so Chazal said what they meant was that it's not derech giluach, it might create hashkata, might get close enough to cause a problem, to remove the hair fully, to cut off the hair at the root. But Chazal said that since it's not the way of giluach, that's not what the Torah prohibited. Now, the man writing this, the man to whom Rav Uziel is writing, who had written his ideas up, and to whom Rav Uziel is so strongly objecting, says, you took it way too much for granted that there's no way that the Torah would allow people to just say, if it's not the usual way of doing it, that's not what we do. Meaning, the man objected, he said, it can't be that the reason why a rehitni, a plane, is allowed, is that that's not the way people shave. Why not? Because, so what if that's not the way people shave? If it achieves the problem that the Torah had, meaning if it produces a closeness of shave that was what the Torah was bothered by, this man had claimed, then it's got to be usher. And how could it be that just because it's not the way people do it, even though it reaches the exact same goal, that it would be okay? That was the man's claim. In other words, if the Torah was bothered by the idea that Jews would be walking around with faces shaved closely enough that the hair was taken out at the root, then that should be true no matter how they got to that. And the fact that a rehitni wasn't the usual way of doing it, a plane wasn't the usual way of doing it, should be irrelevant. Rav Uziel says that's a big mistake as well. Why? Because while it's true that the Torah didn't mean that we can just change things based on what we're used to or not used to, there are times when the Torah says that it's only prohibited when one does it in the ordinary way. There are other examples. So Rav Uziel quotes some examples. There's a halacha on Shabbos. If somebody takes wool on a sheep, although I think animals are muksa, but let's say somebody does it, so they're violating the Rabbanan, but they weave that wool together while it's still on the sheep. Rav Kahana says it's not it's not pulling off the, it's not shearing wool in the ordinary way, so it doesn't count as shearing, and it's not cleaning out the wool in the ordinary way, and it's not weaving in the ordinary way, and therefore there's no actual prohibition the person is violating here. Similarly, when it comes to hotza'ah on Shabbat, when it comes to what we call carrying, hotza'ah in halacha really means taking things out from a private, from a reshut hayachid, what's called a private domain. The definition of that is not exactly the same as what we think of as private versus public, but Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, when somebody carries something from one Rishut to the other, or they carry something for Amot in the Rishut HaRabim, in the public thoroughfare, so there, too, the halacha is, it's only prohibited when one carries it kiderech hamotzi'in. So somebody wore something in an odd, unusual way, that wouldn't be a d'oraita violation, it wouldn't be a biblical violation of hotza'ah, because they're not being motzi kiderech hamotzi'im in the way that people carry. And there are many examples of that, Rav Uziel points out. So, in fact, it's not true that the Torah says, if the Torah says, we don't want this result achieved, that means any way that it's achieved. The example then would be, in our case, if it's not, the other example would be, if you said to me, well, we don't want weaving done on Shabbos, then if I wove wool together in a way, while it's still on the animal, it's still theoretically weaving. So why shouldn't it be weaving? So the Rav Uziel is saying, because in a lot of cases, the Torah didn't prohibit the result only, the Torah prohibited getting to the result in the way that people ordinarily get to the result. So that would mean, therefore, that when it comes to shaving, even if the Torah's result was not having a clean shaven face where the hair has been removed all the way down to the root, nonetheless, it might be that it's only if it's done in the ordinary way, and that would be why a plane, which isn't used for that, would be allowed, or would not be a violation. Then he says, at the very end, he says, and by the way, the reason why we're not allowed to shave our faces, the Rambam suggested, so remember, he's against the whole idea of Darshin and Tamid Krav finding reasons for the commandments, but in terms of shaping our halacha, but he says, but if you look at the reason the Rambam suggested, it's because idolatrous priests, right, those who served Avodah Zarah, those who served idolatries, would shave their beards in such a way to get all the hair off, and that's why the Torah prohibited it. It's interesting that he quotes that, because I think there are many people today who are uncomfortable with some of the Rambam's reasons and think there have to be other reasons as well, because that would suggest then that if there were no idolaters around, we wouldn't have to worry about it, we wouldn't have to care about it, so that's a whole problem of its own. In any case, Rav Uziel quotes that, and if that's true then, and it says, "Lo tashchit et pad zikancha," it has to be a shaving that also produces a complete removal of the hair. If that's true, then you can easily say, notice he's not saying that that's got to be true. He already knows that to be true from halachic sources. Now he's explaining why it would be true as well, because if it's that we can't mimic the idolaters, then it makes sense to say that as long as we're not mimicking the idolaters, we're okay, meaning it wouldn't be enough. It's not the fact of being clean-shaven. It's the fact of being clean-shaven in the way the idolaters got clean-shaven. So, mechonat giluach, a mechanical shaver or an electric shaver, which is made for that, he says, it would be ketar mamash. I think here he means much more mechanical than electrical. This mechanical shaver is like a razor itself, because that's the whole point of it. So, if there were idolatrous priests today, and there are, if they were going to go shave, they would likely use this Gillette thing. So then there's no reason to think that it's any different for any of the reasons that this man has suggested. Some total, Rav Uziel has disagreed with the man both bagadol and bakatan about the specific issue, because the man assumed he knew the reason that it was prohibited to use a regular shaver, and he therefore thought that a Gillette, a mechanical razor that has a covering on it, would be more like a rehidi, and that's because he decided for himself the problem was not cutting up one's face. And Rav Uziel disagrees with him on this, on all of these issues, because in fact the Gemara didn't talk about that, and Rashi didn't talk about that. This man is disagreeing with Rashi. Rashi and the Gemara have spoken about destroying the hair of the face in terms of removing it completely, but it also said that it's only a problem when it's done in the way that people tend to do it. But if it's not done the way that people tend to do it, then it's all fine, it's all good. Why would that be? So Rav Uziel says, well, it might be because if it's true that this mitzvah is about imitating idolaters, and then if it's done in a way that idolaters don't do it, then it's not an imitation of idolaters. So if Rehidi isn't the way idolaters do it, it would be allowed because they don't do it that way. But that wouldn't be true of the Gillette of the mechanical shaver. Beyond the narrow point, And then you'd have to fall back on halakhic sources to talk about what it is and what it isn't without being able to know how to make these distinctions. Beyond that, there's the broader point of how we approach Torah and new issues that come along and how we decide things. And there, Rav Aziel was also very strong and very firm to say, we have to always remember that we are following tradition, and we are building upon tradition, and we are finding new insight into tradition. But just to simply put ourselves against tradition and say new ideas that go against what we've seen before, that is not allowed, and that is not the way of Torah as this man had done it. And therefore, Rav Aziel strongly disagrees with this man, and that's why he wrote it. And that is a response of a day for the 18th of Tammuz. Have a great day.